The text is the Gospel reading from St. Mark. The Pharisees and some of the teachers of the law who had come from Jerusalem gathered around Jesus and saw some of his disciples eating food with hands that were unclean, that is, unwashed. The Pharisees and all the Jews do not eat unless they give their hands a ceremonial washing, holding to the tradition of the elders. When they come from the marketplace, they do not eat unless they wash. And they observe many other traditions, such as the washing of cups, pitchers, and kettles. So the Pharisees and teachers of the law asked Jesus, "Why don't your disciples live according to the tradition of the elders instead of eating their food with unclean hands?" Jesus replied, "Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you, hypocrites. As it is written, 'These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are but rules taught by men.' You have let go of the commands of God and are holding on to the traditions of men." Again, Jesus called the crowd to him and said, "Listen to me, everyone, and understand this. Nothing outside a man can make him unclean by going into him. Rather, it is what comes out of a man that makes him unclean." Jesus went on, "What comes out of a man is what makes him unclean, for from within, out of men's hearts, come evil thoughts, sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, greed, malice, deceit, lewdness, envy, slander, arrogance, and folly. All these evils come from inside and make a man unclean." Here ends our text. The usual question you ask when facing a problem is, what is it? Jesus teaches in this text that the better question to ask is, where is it? Because inevitably, if you're wrong about where the problem is, you're going to be wrong about what it is, and then the solution is going to be wrong as well. Is the problem outside of us? Is the problem bad TV and worse movies? Is the problem the sexually explicit dress of some people? Is the problem people who are jerks? Is the problem outside of me, in my poor upbringing, or my difficult spouse, or my dysfunctional family? If the problem is outside of you, then the solution is going to be inside of you. Once you locate the problem outside of you, you won't look for the solution there too. If my problem with evil thoughts comes from bad TV and movies, well then the solution is within me, not to watch those things. If my problem with lust and sexuality comes from how others act and dress, well then the solution is for me to look away and stay away. If my problem in living comes from what happened to me as a child, my arrogant spouse, or my broken family, then it's up to me to pull myself up by the bootstraps, to rise above my family, rise above my upbringing, rise above my spouse. Once you see your problem is outside of you, well then it's easy to believe the solution is inside. You have what it takes to deal with, to solve, to overcome your problem. You know, if that's the case, you know what you're expecting to get out of church? You know what you're expecting to get out of Jesus? You know what you're expecting to get out of your faith? Motivation. You need a worship service that will pick you up, hype you up, rev you up to go back to your daily life and tackle your problem. You need a worship service that makes you feel good about yourself, because everything outside of you makes you feel bad. Of course, motivation won't be enough to tackle the problem which you know to be outside of you. You're going to need tools too. So you need a church to equip you. You need the sword of the Spirit, you need the breastplate of righteousness, you need the shield of faith, and you need the helmet of salvation. If the problem is outside of you, then your problem is you don't have those tools. Your problem is not that you stab yourself with the sword of the Spirit. Your problem is not that you think your righteousness is an adequate breastplate. Your problem is not that you think your faith is strong enough to be a shield. Your problem is not that you carry your helmet of salvation in your hand rather than wear it on your head. See, the problem can't be you. It's just a lack of tools and then a lack of training. Bible classes then become sword drills, Worship services become how to use your shield, your breastplate, your helmet. Your problem is a failure in training. The reason you sin is not because you're born sinful, but because you don't use your tools right. When you see your problem as something outside of you, you can know three things absolutely. Number one, you don't need a Savior. At least not the Savior that Jesus is. You might need the Mormon Savior, who gives you a hand up out of the pit your sins have cast you into. You might need a psychological Savior, who rescues you from your bad choices by helping you make better ones. You might need a health club Savior, to train you better to fight against the devil, but you don't need the Savior Jesus, who is so named by the angel. Why? Because he will save his people from their sins. The problem is outside of you, then the solution is inside of you, and you don't need a Savior. You don't need someone to keep the commandments perfectly because you think you can do better next time. You don't need someone to be punished for your sins because you have excuses to show you don't deserve to be punished. You don't need a Savior who redeems you from sin, death, and the devil. No, you just need one who can help you keep fighting them. If you think your problem is outside of you, then number one, you don't need a Savior. And number two, you don't need the means of grace. The means of grace, baptism, absolution, and communion are how the forgiveness Jesus won by his perfect life and innocent suffering and death are given to sinners. But if you think your problem is outside of you rather than you, you need something more practical. If you think you can win the fight against your lust, well, you don't need forgiveness. You need motivation. You need tools. You need training. If you think your problem is difficult people in your life, well, then they might need the forgiveness of sins and the means of grace. But what you need are ways to handle them so you don't end up feeling so bad about yourself. If you think your problem is outside of you, number one, you don't need a Savior. Number two, you don't need the means of grace. And number three, you are a hypocrite. You're a hypocrite because you think you're better than you are. You don't realize how fallen you really are. You see yourself as mired in some mud here or there. The mud is outside of you. It's on your shoes, it's on your clothes, it's on your hands. You act as if God must be pleased with you, because you're not as filthy as those bad people on TV or even in your life. The reality is, you haven't just stepped in a little mud that others have left behind. You're floating, not in mud, but waste that comes not from outside of you, but from inside. You're a hypocrite if you pretend this is not the case. Is the problem really inside of me, though? What does Jesus say? From within, out of men's hearts, comes not just evil thoughts, but evil deeds, evil words, and evil attitudes. All these evils come from inside, says Jesus. All these evils didn't start after being rejected by my parents, after being married to a jerk, or after being surrounded by bad things. This evil started in the womb. David says in Psalm 51 that in sin did my mother conceive me. The Lord declares in Genesis that my first conscious thoughts are only evil. And no, it's not that the devil interjects those evil things into my heart. He can magnify them, but he cannot originate them. They originate with me. Out of men's hearts, says Jesus, they come. So, if my problem is inside, then the solution can't be inside. No matter how hard I try, no matter how completely motivated and trained I am, evil continually pours out of my heart. Evil thoughts, evil words, evil deeds. And this is what I'm guilty of before God. Before men, I may not be guilty of sexual immorality, theft, murder, adultery, or deceit. But before God, I sure am. When I pretend I am not, then I'm playing the hypocrite. But it's so painful. It's so hopeless. It's so ugly to admit the truth that it's not the world around me that is damned. I am. Oh, sure, people sin against me. They do evil to me. Perhaps they wronged me when I was a helpless, innocent child, scarring me for life. But all of that is not really my problem, because none of that can damn me. None of that makes me stink before high heaven. No, what soils me is the waste pouring out of my own heart, the fountain not of youth, but of sewage, that is more faithful than old faithful, in spewing out befouling things. That's what I need an answer to. And do you think motivating me with happy thoughts is going to help? Do you think having me sing how much I love Jesus will enable me not to smell my own stench? Or do you think I just need better tools and better training at using those tools? What tool can you give me that can do anything more than reach the outside of my body? What can positive thoughts do in a heart that can only produce evil ones? Say you teach me how to deal with the genuinely dysfunctional people in my life. I'm still a person wallowing in my own filth, but hey, at least I'm dealing with those dysfunctional people. I don't need a motivator. I don't need an equipper. I don't need a trainer. I need a savior. I need someone who will come all the way down where I am, into my filth, into my waste, into my evilness. I've met the problem, and it is me. It's not that I occasionally sin here and occasionally sin there. It's not that I do this or that wrong. No, there is nothing about me. There's nothing in me. There's nothing from me that is not sinful. No wonder the devil can easily convince me I'm going to hell. What do I look like but a son of hell? So don't have me sing happy tunes. Don't tell me to be more positive. Don't tell me that if I just get proper equipping and training, my problem will be solved. No, it won't. I don't need outward direction. I need inward cleansing. I don't need strengthening, instructing, exercising, or motivating. I need medicine. I need to be cleansed and healed. And no amount of me bleeding, sweating, or crying can do that, because even my blood, sweat, and tears are filthy. God's blood, sweat, and tears are holy. They are clean. They cleanse. They heal. But God is a spirit. Yes, no blood, sweat, or tears. For that reason, God became a man. He became flesh so that he would have blood to bleed, sweat to bead, and tears to cry. In the flesh, Jesus did all that was required of us, but we could never do. The holy Jesus went to the cross in the flesh, bearing our sins, our filth, our evilness that is so deep, we can sense it in our bones. And there at the cross, he bled, he cried, and died for your sins, for all your sins. For those sins that you don't think are that bad, and for those sins that are so ugly and so smelly, you can hardly bear the sight or smell of them. For all of them, Jesus suffered, was damned, and died. The blood, sweat, and tears of God, they clean completely. It's not a matter of what you can believe, what you can see, or what you can sense. God the Son offered his pure life in exchange for your filthy one, and God the Father said, it's a done deal. So Jesus got your filth, and you got his holiness. His blood, sweat, and tears dripped into baptism, into absolution, and into communion. You partake of them, and you are cleansed, you are forgiven, you are healed. Well, there's still going to be problems on the outside. But your real problem, the one on the inside, that's been taken care of. Your fallen heart is still going to spew evilness. But as it does, the blood, sweat, and tears of Jesus in the means of grace will flow over you, cleaning, washing, and forgiving you. Amen. Now the peace of God which passes all human understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.